Hi guys, and welcome back to Conversations with the Facade Nigeria. We're back with another episode on this new series we just started on legislative council meetings. And if you haven't listened to the first episode, go back. We talked about the legislative council proceedings of June 1888. So we looked at two different proceedings that were held in that month in 1888. Today, we're going to be looking at Legislative Council proceedings of the 9th of October, 1893. So, in no particular order, we're taking these proceedings. A meeting of Legislative Council was held at Government House on Monday afternoon, 9th instant. So, back then, instant meant the current month. Ultimo meant the previous month. And proximo meant the next month. Yeah, so that's how in government records or newspapers, that was how things were said back then. Members present included His Excellency Captain George Chadden Denton, CMG, who was acting governor. His Honor E.H. Richards, who was also the acting chief justice. Honorable Alvan Milson, who was the acting colonial secretary, the Honorable G. Stallard, the Queen's advocate, the Honorable H.M.B. Griffith, the treasurer, Honorable Charles Joseph George, the Honorable and Reverend James Johnson, the Honorable T. Welsh, the Honorable C.T. Mullins, and Mr. G.B. Haddon Smith, who was the private secretary and clerk of council. The minutes of the last meeting held on the first ultimo were read and confirmed. That's the first of the previous month. His Excellency informed Council that the Secretary of State had approved of the extra expenditure of £509 as supplies for the constabulary, which had already been passed in Council, that the leaves granted to Messrs. Higginson, Swan and Millen were confirmed, that a general increase of salaries had been approved of in the printing department, the details of which would appear in the estimate. Extensions of leave had been granted to His Honor the Chief Justice, Captain Tabet, and Captain Boa on the ground of ill health on half salary. His Honor for 3 months and other officers for 1 month. The acting governor went on to say that, looking to the fact that the Botanic Garden had suffered in the absence of a properly qualified curator, the Secretary of State had, upon the recommendation of the governor, sent out Mr. Haydon to act in lieu of Mr. Millen. Council was next informed that the Secretary of State had approved of 6 months' leave of absence being granted to Mr. J.T. Lay of the Customs, also free passages to and from Sierra Leone. It was mentioned that the salaries to the lighthouse keepers had been fixed at from £40 to £50 and from £50 to £60 by annual increment of £2, and the provision for this service on the lines mentioned would be included in the estimate. The acting governor said he felt sure honourable members would be pleased to hear that Mr. Colquick's services have been recognised by his salary being raised to £250. They will remember the information given at a previous meeting that it was the intention of the Secretary of State to appoint an additional assistant colonial surgeon. Dr. P.G. Macready had been chosen for the appointment at a salary of £350, rising to £400 by triennial increment of £25. Captain R.S. Johnstone's leave had been extended on no pay until the arrival out here of the steamer, which left Liverpool on the 27th September. Leave was granted to enable the officer to complete a course of surveying at the Geographical Society. The Secretary of State had approved of the grant of £29.10 for the instruction of clerks in shorthand. A stipend of £5 per month to the King of Pokia had been approved. The salaries of Captain Speeding and Shuttleworth had been increased from £360 to £400 each. His Excellency stated that was all the information of a general kind he had to place before the honourable members. He would now ask the Honorable Queen's Advocate to introduce Order No. 9 of 1893. The Honorable Queen's Advocate, after a few remarks in which she pointed out the object of the bill, moved first reading, motion seconded by the Acting Colonial Secretary, and the Honorable Queen's Advocate read the title of the bill. His Excellency said that honorable members had had copies of the estimates placed in their hands, but he was sorry to say that the vote for Public Works Extraordinary was not quite in order, as the colonial surveyor had found it necessary to revise some of the estimates for buildings in course of progress. There was, however, still a great deal that council could proceed with. He would call upon Honorable Acting Colonial Secretary to introduce the estimates. On the item, Chief Clerk Secretariat, Honorable Reverend James Johnson asked why the salary of the office had been raised and the European appointed instead of an African who had been filling the post all along, and remarked that it seems a reflection on the native officials, as either Mr. Carr, the native who last filled the post, did not give satisfaction, or there was not another to be got who could do the work. His Excellency explained that it was thought necessary that three instead of two Europeans should be employed at the Secretariat, on account of the long period during which the colonial secretary is always called to administer the government, that it was not intended as a reflection in any degree. On the item postmaster, His Excellency said that the salary £250 per annum recommended by the Post Office Commission could not be put upon the estimate at present, but on a schedule to be sent to the Secretary of State along with the estimate. On this, the Honorable Charles Joseph George asked whether Council has not the power to make increase or decrease by vote on salaries of officials without first obtaining the sanction of the Secretary of State. His Excellency said that Honorable Member's question was difficult, and that the Honorable Member's question was difficult to answer. He would not feel justified to do so without first obtaining His Lordship's sanction. The next item queried was office rent. Inspector of Schools, £20 per annum. Honorable Reverend James Johnson thought that this amount was small, and any place got for such a sum would be one which might detract from the dignity of the inspector's position. Now, unless he takes from his salary some £30 add to it, he could not get a decent place, which would mean that he gains nothing. On the contrary, he loses by the promotion. The acting governor replied that there is a substantial increase to Mr. Carr's pay of £25 by the promotion, that he was expected to find his own quarters, as he had done when he was chief clerk of the secretariat. What was wanted is simply an office, and if there should arise any difficulty as he is getting one, the government would withdraw the allowance and provide him with an office. Surveyor of Crown Lands. This is a new office to be created and salary to be attached to which the acting governor is recommending £19 to £150 by an annual increment of £10. Honorable Reverend James Johnson said that the salary to be attached to this office is very small, and taking into consideration that Mr. Herbert Macaulay, who is to fill the post, has been qualified in England as a civil engineer and co. Amount could not be expected to keep him. The acting governor said that Mr. Macaulay had cost the colony £520 already, and having regard to his qualifications and attainments, he consulted Mr. Anderson, the Surveyor General, who said that, coming from his indentures as he is, Mr. Macaulay or a young Englishman in England would get £40 to £50. He thought that a fair comparison. The young Englishman would be a native in his country, as Mr. Macaulay is a native of this. The colonial surveyor is a man who is experienced in such matters and has characterized the present offer as a generous one. The Honorable and Reverend Member reiterated what he said before, and added that the four men of works who are supposed to take orders from Mr. Macaulay, who is a professional man, are being paid more than he, that even a clerk in the office is receiving £100, and asked further whether, if Mr. Macaulay had been sent to England by his parents and got the qualification that he has, the government would offer the same salary that is offered him now. Honorable T. Welsh asked whether the Office of Inspector of Works could not be attached to this one to be newly created and the pay to be made better. Honorable Charles Joseph George asked what was the intention of the government in sending Mr. Macaulay to England, and Honorable C.T. Mullins asked whether there was any agreement between Mr. Macaulay and the government. The acting governor said he was not here when arrangements were made for his going to England. All he knew was that there was an agreement by which he is bound to serve the government for 7 years after his return, at his salary to be fixed by the government, having regard to his qualifications and attainment. Lastly, the acting governor said that a motion might be made of the question at the next meeting and vote taken. Having ascertained that there was no further question, he adjourned meeting Saturday next, the 14th instant, October, at 3 p.m. The adjourned sitting of the Legislative Council was resumed at Government House on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. There were present His Excellency Acting Governor, His Honour E.H. Richards, Acting Chief Justice, Honourable Arvon Milson, Acting Colonial Secretary, Honourable G. Stallard, Queen's Advocate, Honourable H.M.B. Griffith, Treasurer, Honourable Charles Joseph George, Honourable and Reverend James Johnson, Honourable T. Welsh, and Honourable G.T. Mullins, Mr. G.B. Haddon-Smith, Private Secretary, Clerk of Council. The minutes of the meeting held on Monday 9th instant were read and confirmed. His Excellency said before resuming business, he must lay before Honourable Members a letter he received from Mr. Payne, Chief Registrar, asking how many copies of his almanac for next year the government would take. He may remind Honourable Members that of the last issue, 25 copies were taken, and if Honourable Members approved, they would order the same quantity this time. The Members of Council agreed to it accordingly. Council then proceeded to the consideration of estimates for 1894. Under, in quotes, Public Works Extraordinary, the item Interior Roads was the first considered. His Excellency said that it was desirable to keep the roads to the interior in good repairs, and for that purpose, the amount of £2,000 is put on the estimate. Then came new Government House furniture, £3,000. Honourable Charles Joseph George remarked that this sum appears to be very high for furnishing Government House. And he did not think that the house would have as many as 30 rooms, and if even instead, surely would not require each room to be furnished with the amount. He thought it would only be the principal room that would require to be well furnished. His Excellency said that the amount of £3,000 put down in the estimate was put after consultation taken on the subject, and that that amount was thought not to be excessive and may not be all spent. His Excellency further explained that the amount of increase added to the estimate for constabulary quarters is necessitated by the veranda which he ordered to be added to the building, as he thought that it was not right to spoil a good house at the want of a little expense to put it right, as the house was the sun and rain beat directly upon it. With the verandas added, it could not be so. Honorable T. Welsh said that it was supposed that the new customs warehouse would afford greater accommodations, but that as it is at present, is worse than before. Now, he could not tell what was the reason, but the fact remains that it is so. His Excellency said that this subject had been brought before him, and he thinks the want of accommodation complained of is the increased volume of trade. Honourable T. Welsh further remarked that the latrine accommodation is quite inadequate to the necessities of the town, and that more such accommodation should be afforded. That the amount of £364 estimated for that service is not sufficient. His Excellency said that the governor has in hand a comprehensive scheme for the drainage of the town and other matters, and he thought it best to leave those services until the return into the colony of His Excellency. Honourable and Reverend James Johnson thought that the reason the amount for labour rose to such height in the past is to be found in the fact that workmen in the government employ do what is called killing time, thereby receiving a day's wage for what perhaps is only half a day's labour. And he thought that supervisors of works should be informed so that stronger supervision may be accorded and the workmen be thereby made to give a day's work for a day's wage. Honourable Charles Joseph George spoke in support of the Honourable and Reverend gentleman, and added that he had several times observed workmen at the building of the new warehouse and even had to interfere. He believes with more vigilance on the part of the overseers, more work could be turned out for same amount of money. Honourable and Reverend James Johnson referred to the constabulary, saying that the amount of the estimate for that service, £22,383.15, is a very large sum, yet the protection of life and property is inadequate. Either the number of men in the force is not enough, or the quality not of the best. That murders and burglaries have been committed within the town and no trace has been made of the criminals. Instances are not wanting in which police constables have been known to have collided with thieves. Honorable Queen's advocate took exception to the remarks of Honorable and Reverend Gentleman and asked him to make good his statement, which Honorable and Reverend Gentleman did by instancing the foul murder committed at Balogun Square 3 years ago and one occasion when he met a policeman offering for sale to a young man some books which his attention was called and which he found was belonging to a young man from Fura Bay College. Of course, he advised the young man not to buy. Laterly, he heard the constable was convicted and imprisoned for the crime. His Excellency thought that one single instance was not sufficient to condemn the whole force, nor one undetected much to show insufficient protection, and he must say that the remarks which fell from Honorable and Reverend Member considerably alarmed him. His Excellency said that he had not put on the estimates lighting the street, because he knew that along with the draining, the governor has that also in hand. Another thing left out also is the sleep. Surveyor Anderson has just returned from Akasa, the sleep in use at which place he does not approve of, but that the firm who builded the customs pier will be asked to build one, the estimate of which is about £11,000. That he had no doubt that having a good sleep here, the steamship companies and firms who have steamers like Geyser and Witten Bush would be glad to be able to clean their ships here, and of course the ship can be made in that way to pay its cost in a short time. An application from Mr. C. Randall Cole, Charles Randall Cole, asking to be allowed to draw the maximum pay of his office, which is £175, was read. His Excellency said that although Mr. Cole was promoted to be registrar, there was no increase to his salary of deputy registrar, which was £150. And Mr. Cole entered the service since 1875 at a salary of £75, and he thought that this was a deserving case. His Honour, Acting Chief Justice and Honorable Queen's Advocate, both spoke in high terms of Mr. Cole's value as a public officer and strongly recommended the application, which was seconded by Honorable Charles Joseph George and carried. Honorable T. Welsh spoke to the effect that as revenue had increased and probably will continue to be so, and as it is the principle of government never to collect money when they do not require it, the ad valorem duty of 5% should be reduced to 2.5%, particularly as the adjacent colonies do not collect any of this duty at all. His Excellency said he believes that at the Gold Coast, duty there is as high as 10% and at Sierra Leone, 7%. Honorable Member explained that he referred to Port Novo and the Niger Coast Protectorate and not Sierra Leone and the Gold Coast. His Excellency continued, seemed like a little back and forth. His Excellency continues saying that does not affect the question. That, as he said before, there are public works to be undertaken. There was the sleep for ships, drainage and water supply, the last two being non-remunerative. Honorable Acting Colonial Secretary said that it is true that this is a good year and that perhaps the next may be so, but there was no certainty about the matter. On consideration of, in quotes, schedule of proposed additions to annual estimate, His Excellency said that notice had been given by one honorable member of a proposition he wished to make. Honorable Charles Joseph George said, having due regard to the privileges accorded to Mr. Herbert Macaulay by the government in sending him to England to qualify him in the art of engineering, and considering also that Mr. Macaulay on his part has met the wish of the government by obtaining a civil engineer's certificate within the time allowed him, the vote of £90 per annum proposed to be recommended to the Secretary of State, as the salary is to his mind quite inadequate. With His Excellency's permission, therefore, he begged to move that Mr. Herbert Macaulay's salary be fixed at £120 for the first year, with increment to be determined after his service of 12 months. Honorable Reverend James Johnson said, I must put in an amendment to this motion, as I take it that even when what the Honorable Member proposed is insufficient, taking into consideration that Mr. Herbert Macaulay comes to us with sufficient testimony from his teachers in England, I think he is holding a certificate of civil engineer equal to the assistant surveyor of Lagos. Of course, the government has been very generous to him indeed. All that being considered, I move that instead of 90, he be paid £150 per annum. Ha! Interesting. This motion was not put for want of a seconder. His Excellency on rising said that he came to council prepared to recommend £105 per annum as the pay to be attached to the office of surveyor of Crown Land, having regard to the fact that the accountant of the surveyor's office is in receipt of £100 per annum. But the honourable member has proposed and was seconded by honourable Mr. Mullins, the representative of a large mercantile house and large employer of labour, he would waive his own proposition. I recommend to the Secretary of State for approval of the motion of the Honourable Charles Joseph George, increment to depend upon Mr. Macaulay's ability and capability. Honourable Reverend James Johnson rose and said that in the remarks he made in reference to the inefficiency of the constabulary, he never intended any reflection at all upon the officers of the force, and he is sorry if it is taken to mean so. His Excellency acknowledged the apology. Honourable Queen's Advocate moved the first reading of Ordinance Number 9 of 1893, seconded by Honourable T. Walsh. Ordinance read first time. Honourable Queen's Advocate then moved the suspension of the Standing Order of Council to allow Bill to go through all its stages at this sitting, seconded by Honourable Treasurer. Bill read second time. Honourable Queen's Advocate moved third reading, seconded by Honourable Charles Joseph George. Bill read third time and passed. Entitled Supply Ordinance for 1894. His Excellency assenting to it in Her Majesty's name in presence of honorable members. Rules amending hospital rules were read and passed. Council adjourned. Yeah. So guys, the last few activities in this Legislative Council meeting seemed like it's a bit of back and forth. Even looking at Reverend James Johnson's apology regarding his statement, his remarks on the police force, the constabulary as was known then, was actually quite interesting because, I mean, he was obviously not lying. Because if you even read, stories from newspapers of back then, he was stating facts. And not to make the police look bad, but like that was the reality of things technically. And he was not just badmouthing all police officers, he was just making observations, stating his observation. On the other part, there was a little bit of back and forth from CJ George and apparently Acting Colonial Secretary, I believe, or His Excellency, rather, on Mr. Herbert Macaulay's salary. And from this, it seemed like His Excellency was just like, we've sent this guy to England. We've spent £520, as he said, on this guy. Like, now that he's coming back, why do we need to pay him that much? But obviously, you sent him to England and to qualify for a larger role. So for the fact that he's stepping up and rising to a higher role, I mean, you should pay him more, literally. So I think it was very interesting that CJ George was sort of like, you know, fighting for, and also Reverend James Johnson. Reverend James Johnson said £150. I mean, CJ George first said £120. Reverend James Johnson said £150, which I actually believe £150 should have been enough for the role he was stepping into. But yeah, quite interesting, a little bit of, you know, back and forth. But that's it from this episode on Legislative Council proceedings. Don't forget to share our podcast with family and friends. Don't forget to also listen on our old episodes. We have episodes on weddings from 19th century, 1930s and 1940s, and other interesting episodes as well. Weekly news from the Nigerian Pioneer by Sakito Yajasa, and other life and times of individuals that we have up. If you're not following us on Instagram, we're at The Facade Nigeria. THEFACADENIGERIA. And on Twitter at capital letter F, small letters ACADE, capital letter N, small letters IGERIA. That's Facade Nigeria. We'll see you guys when next we see you. Cheers.